T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday. A few minutes past 6 p.m. Hi.
Hi. Have you seen this Jeffrey R. Epstein on Twitter?
I've heard about it.
He's an executive at Walt Disney Company, and he's been getting nonstop like threats and mean tweets, and then a bunch of people being like, R.I.P. Jeffrey Epstein. And he's like, guys, different person.
I guess I just don't understand Twitter. There would have to be a lot of Jeffrey Epsteins in the world, right? So why is this guy getting...
I don't know. I mean, I don't know a Jeffrey Epstein. You know, there's a couple more, but he's been the one getting all the heat because he has a check mark next to his name on Twitter. That means you're verified, you're an important person. So I think a lot of people just fail
assume
to read
him.
His bio and think, well, he's the only famous Jeffrey
Epstein. And why are people sending tweets to a dead guy?
Just to be like, at Jeffrey Epstein died in his cell last night, RIP, or like, glad that guy's gone, or blah. People just do that. People tag who they're talking about.
Gotcha.
I don't have a good reason.
Okay.
It's just what we do on
All
Twitter.
All right, I hear you. People were very angry. I thought this was kind of interesting. The Dayton killer, who killed his sister, the mom and dad put an obituary in the paper and talked about what a lovely, kind, and creative person he was, and everyone went crazy and said, he murdered a bunch of people, including your own daughter. And so they apologized, but I was kind of torn, because certainly if Nick went out and shot up a bunch of people, I still think he's a sweet, kind person. I have no idea what got into him, but I would think I would be self-aware enough not to publish that in the paper.
Yeah, it's the whole, like, you have a right to free speech. You can say whatever you want, but you also...
You're going to get a reaction.
There's going to be consequences to that. And I think it is incredibly tacky. You're still allowed to love your son, and you're allowed to think of him lovingly. But to publish an obituary, think of all the victims' families. And they're going to read that and be like, oh, wow, a creative kid, huh? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sweet to everybody.
Don't you think if Nick were that way, though, that maybe he wouldn't be so sweet and kind?
Right.
It really makes you wonder. It makes you wonder when people do things like this and people say, out of nowhere. Now, it's one thing for a neighbor to say, yeah, he was really quiet. But I've always found that a fascinating question. Are parents just lying to us or themselves when they say, I had zero idea? No idea. Can someone really just live a normal life and be really nice and really sweet and compassionate and non-weird, and then one day shoot a bunch of people?
I think you're overestimating the average parent. I think there are a lot of people that really care about their kids and are really involved and really checking in. But I think there's even more who don't care that much and don't see a need to look into anything. So it was probably just they weren't paying attention. I'm sure if they were paying attention, they would have seen something.
You may be right. Yeah.
But I don't know.
I could be wrong, but I just don't think it's possible for somebody to live a normal life. Everybody think they're normal, and then suddenly that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I really don't. I just think there you'd have to have some warning signs. And granted, some of those warning signs may be small, and they may not be noticeable to a neighbor or to a teacher. But if you're an involved parent at all, like living in the same house, you've got to notice something before somebody snaps.
Now, ironically, I think that you could be a serial killer and appear completely normal, because you're a psychopath and you're aware and you're playing a part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that you can be a one-off Walmart shooter-upper and have that same level of...
Yeah, and the chaos that's involved with that. When you're a serial killer, there's like planning and you're covering your tracks and it's super in-depth. These mass shooters are just like, all right, I'm just going to go out and mess up as much stuff as I possibly can. Speaking of involved parents, it's summertime, so we see all these horrible stories about the kids being left in the backseat of the car. We've talked about it on the show before. What makes a person do this? So today I saw an article that said, why do parents leave their kids in the backseat? And I'm like, great, maybe some clarity. Let me click on it. Read the whole thing. Basically, the answer is they just forget. They weren't paying attention. And I wrote down this quote from the article because I just thought it was so sad. This is a direct line from this article that I think I found on FoxNews.com. Some technologies are able to assist caregivers so they don't forget their children. Like, come on. I guess the excuse is like, yeah, they're just not thinking about it. That's not a good enough excuse.
Yeah.
That's a terrible excuse.
I took some crap a few years ago because a couple from Kirkwood did it. And obviously people know them. And we're like, because I said I just have, it's not that I don't have sympathy. I do. But I don't have empathy. I don't have an understanding of, oh, I can imagine that because I can't. I can imagine a lot of things. I can imagine a lot of parenting mistakes that I have made or would make or will make, but I'm sorry, I can't go there. I'm not trying to be holier than thou. That's just something I can't imagine ever happening.
We've talked about this issue on this show before, and we all came down on the same side of it saying, how can you? How could you forget? But I don't remember where I was. It was somewhere walking through a store or something where I heard two people talking about this issue completely unrelated to me or any, you know, I was just passing by. And they both were on the opposite side. They both seemed very rational. And they said, you know what? I understand. You could just leave them in a car. And wow. And they agreed with each other. They weren't fighting. I thought, well, maybe it is more
common.
They've
got some quiet kids, I guess.
Nick said the other day, we're driving, and I don't know why he said it. It kind of seemed to be out of nowhere. But he said, I think the worst feeling in the world would have to be to leave your child in a hot car to roast to death. And I thought about it, and I would have to agree. I can't think of, it wouldn't be a great thing for your kid to get sick. It wouldn't be a great thing for your kid to get hit by a car. But I can't imagine continuing life knowing that I was responsible for my child dying.
Yeah, and it was slow
so
and
avoidable,
torturous.
And it was terrible. Yeah, they baked.
Yeah.
Well, in any way, because you do hear about people backing the car over a kid. And it's just, it would have to be the same. It didn't last as long, so I guess that part of it would be different, but you'd have to feel the same way. Do you know who Stephen Curtis Chapman is? Have we talked about this? He's the Christian singer.
Yeah.
This happened to him. You know, his older son backed over his younger daughter. This was just a couple years ago. Mm. And they were, for a good long while, very private about it. Took a long time for them to heal. And then people wanted to know, you know, how does this happen? And you're a celebrity, so can I look to you to know? You seem like a normal guy.
Yeah.
How did this happen? And they were just, they went on Larry King, very honest about it, and said, look, it's just an accident. It's possible for anyone.
You know, it's a spectrum, and you draw a line somewhere. I can imagine that. I mean, we've all backed over something. It just, thank God, wasn't a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've backed over toys, we've backed over bicycles, but I draw the line at, I'm responsible for a baby, and I left it in a car to roast.
Well, yeah, because backing over a child is one split second of, oh my gosh, I did the wrong thing. Leaving a child in the car is an hour at least of just complete and total negligence.
Well, these
in my
two
opinion.
People I walked past, the scenario they were talking about, and I only listened to maybe 10 seconds of it as I'm walking by.
You know, you were walking past, they were like, here he is, here's Wickens, bring it up.
Yeah, we heard him talk about it. But what they said was, what if you thought mom had the kid?
And it's how it usually happens.
It's usually you think the other parent or somebody else is responsible. You didn't even realize.
That was in the article, too. That's a little more understandable, but still. Like,
I know.
Like,
I'm trying to find some compassion here, but it just...
I mean, I have compassion. I think it would be so heartbreaking and terrible, but I don't think there's a real excuse, you know? It's just not okay.
Why did you bring that up? Did that happen again recently?
I just saw an article. Both of these were on FoxNews.com, I think. One was like a 13-year-old boy broke into a car to save a 2-year-old from roasting to death. And then there was also a separate article, why do people leave their kids in cars? Back to the shooters. Did you guys see this? The New Zealand shooter was allowed to send a letter from prison, and then it was put up on 4chan, and it had all this language in it. It was saying like a revolution is coming or a great conflict is coming. They should have never let that dude send a letter from prison. And then the prison guards were just like, yeah, this is our bad. We're going to have to watch this a little more closely in the future. Like, dude, it's just common sense to screen this a little better. He's a terrorist. You're just going to let him put out more of his manifesto? It's just crazy.
It's one of those things. Remember a few years ago when windows were cracking on airplanes? And then you heard about it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right now it's prisons, like with the Jeffrey Epstein thing and this thing. And I'm sure this stuff happens all the time in different ways in different industries. And then we just focus on it and go, oh, my God, chaos in prison. Well, it's chaos in prison every day.
Okay, so putting aside every conspiracy theory with Jeffrey Epstein, let's say he truly killed himself in his jail cell. To me, those guards couldn't look any worse, because this is one of the most high-profile criminals on the planet right now. And they were sleeping. They were filling out the log incorrectly. So if you're treating one of the most high-profile, scrutinized criminals in the world like that, how are you treating Joe Schmo?
Yeah.
That's really, really disturbing that they couldn't just be on their good behavior for this guy, at least.
The prison expert today on one of the morning shows made a good point. And he said, look, here's the deal. They did everything wrong. Mm-hmm. But what he was supposed to be on was an every 30-minute check. And it takes about 3 minutes to kill yourself the way that he supposedly did. So he said if Jeffrey Epstein really did hang himself, he could have done it even if they followed all the rules. To me, and I don't understand this, because from what I gather, his attorney asked him to be moved out of this suicide-proof room. Well, you just say no. I mean, if something happened the week before where Epstein says that he was attacked, but there's some signs that maybe he tried to hang himself, you just say no. Like, you're going to spend 6 months in this cell. That's what I don't understand, because once you move him into the regular cell, it's now he's able to do it.
So he was attacked by another prisoner, and that's why he was moved? Because I heard when he first arrived at this prison, he was in, it was like a six-by-six cell with one window, and you have a toilet sink combo and a cot, and that is it. And you're in solitary confinement 23 hours a day.
Yeah, and I don't understand exactly how it happened.
Maybe it was on the hour break or something.
Maybe, but he had marks around his neck and scratches, and he said that he was attacked.
So then they moved him to a more low
security cell?
After that,
they moved him into a non-suicide cell, which to me makes no sense.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah. But basically the guy was saying, yeah, these guys screwed the pooch, but even if you leave him for 30 minutes, it doesn't take 30 minutes to kill yourself the way he killed himself.
I wonder if
he indeed killed himself.
What percentage of people really, really believe that what we're getting from that story is the truth?
Right.
I mean,
you'd have to think it's a minority.
I know I've heard people on the station be like, well, I don't want to push a conspiracy theory. I have no problem being like, yeah, I don't believe that's how it happened.
Yeah, no.
There had to have been somebody.
There are conspiracy theories. Now, I think it's perfectly possible that he hung himself. It's perfectly possible. But I think it's just as possible that someone got to him. I don't think it's UFOs or Bigfoot. You know, I think under all the circumstances, with everything, all the lapses, it's absolutely possible.
It would be so easy for these multi-million billionaires to find two prison guards and say, hey, how would you like $1 million?
Yeah. Sure.
And the rest of your life is set for just 1 hour of your time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I had a buddy text me the other day. I thought, man, that's exactly right. He said, they don't care that you know they killed him. They only care that you don't know who they are.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is a great point.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Go to 971talk.com/events to get the last remaining VIP tickets for 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks.
From
August
tonight?
3rd? Yeah.
Yeah. So next weekend, I'm excited. It's the big Bomberito 500 over at Gateway. I'm going to be doing some stuff over there with them, I think a couple of nights in a row. And then the weekend after that is Midwest Wing Fest, where they sell wings and beer and give all the money to veterans groups and military and first responders. My band is playing Friday the 30th, and you can get a VIP ticket to a big tent. I think there's like 400 people in the tent, but but you all have air conditioning, you have private bathrooms, you have front row to the stage for my band and the Well Hungarians. You have all the dandy and wings you can eat and all the beer you can drink until midnight. Next night, there are other, I think it's national acts there, maybe country acts. I should find this out, but I don't know. And then Courtney Landrum and I from Y98 are going to be there in the VIP tent just hosting. Same deal, and that's $60. That's 971talk.com/events.
What are you doing at the race? Are you wearing a halter top and waving the flag?
Wow.
Go!
Wow. Man, you just take it all there.
Ryan, do you know the story of a couple summers ago where our friend John Bishy from Bomarita Automotive Group reached out to me and offered to have Dave ride in a race car. And I was like, "Love, this is going to be so fun. Let's go. Get down there." It wasn't a race.
Let me tell.
Okay.
So, I come from a racing family. I'm super into it. Indy, Formula One, Le Mans.
I know nothing about racing.
I didn't know that, and I know nothing about racing either.
Yeah.
So.
No, my grandpa, Dick Glover, built race cars and owned them, and Indianapolis, and the Kinzers, and the Bettenhausen, the whole thing. So, we get invited. They have this two-seat Indy car that you can take a ride in, and it's legit. Like, you are with a professional driver, and you're flying around the track.
Bomarito does?
No, the Indy, you know, system does.
Okay.
And so Rach says, like, yeah, this is what you're going to do. And
we
hadn't been working together that long, had we?
It's about a year.
Okay, long enough. So we go over there, and I'm stoked. And we get there, and it turned out to be a Honda Accord.
I didn't read that in the email. I didn't see that part.
Now, it was still cool because
an indie
driver drove us around and talked to us about the track, and it was cool and it was fun, but I was like a little kid because I thought I was going to be in an indie car wearing the suit, wearing the helmet, going 200 miles an hour, and instead I went about 75. And I'm in the front seat, just kind of sullen, and Rach is in the back seat.
I had a blast.
Yeah, she loved it.
That was maybe one of the hardest times I've ever seen Mark Close laugh when we came back from that
and told
him about it. And he goes, hey, Rach, can you set me up a flight with the Blue Angels next week?
He was dying.
Look,
dying.
Here's the sad part. They bring out the Accord, and I'm still like, all right, let's go, because I know nothing about racing. I did not understand the mistake whatsoever. Yeah.
So,
but they were great and really cool about it.
This year I get to do it.
Oh, you get to ride in the race car.
So thanks to Indy and Bomarito and Gateway and my buddy Katie Jamberetz, I'm going over there on race day to actually be in an Indy car.
So this is at the Gateway International Raceway here in St. Louis on the east side?
The day of the race.
Well, that's cool.
The race is at 8 p.m. and I'm going over there during the day and doing it. So I'm psyched.
Man, I used to hate race days. I used to work at the golf course next door.
Oh, yeah?
You could not hear anything on race days.
You couldn't hear any of the golfing.
I can't tell if I'm hitting this ball at all.
What call was that? I can't even hear it. I don't know much about golf either.
Customers yelling, just, can I get some water in this? What? And then they'd have concerts out there. They had a Metallica, Korn, Kid Rock concert out there once that was just the worst. They let them park on our driveway, our driving range.
Yeah.
And so not only could our customers not use the driving range, which they were upset about, but then we had to go clean up all the trash off the driving range. I'm like, wait a minute, this is not part of the job description for a carboy.
So you worked at Gateway?
Gateway, the golf course.
The golf course.
Yes.
Isn't that where the guy fell in the hole? Were you working there then?
The holes are usually too small for like a full human.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
I believe it was Gateway.
If not,
someone fact check me.
It was a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids type situation.
Wait, no. Tell the story that you think is
There's a foursome playing golf, and one guy just disappears.
Uh-oh.
And he just fell down this like human-sized sinkhole down like 10 or 15 feet.
I think, unless it happened more recently, because I stopped working there about 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It would have been in the last, about that amount of time, last 5 or 10 years.
Oh, it's possible.
Yeah.
I can tell you there are some weird
I mean, it was on
places.
The news and everything. I wasn't like watching from the trees. I'm like, I think that guy just fell in the hole.
He fell in the hole I created. Sweet.
Man. I ran away snickering.
There's so many stories from when I worked there. There's celebrities out there all the time. One time, Mark McGwire was right after he just broke the record, and he was national news. You know, he was so he's playing at the golf course, and a buddy of mine, we're just out of high school or right around senior year.
Yeah.
And we're rounding a corner and we're driving. And he's like, yeah, did you hear Mike McGuire's out here? It's like, no, I hadn't heard that. Duh. I'm like, I'm only taking him to prom. And round the corner, man, Mark McGuire's right there and definitely heard me today. So I was taking him to prom.
Right around that same time, I was fat and it was summer. And I guess I was especially red. And I was in a drive-through at a White Castle, because again, I'm fat and red. And some guy thought I was Mark McGwire. And
what kind of car were you driving?
Not Mark McGwire.
Okay.
Yeah.
That guy's kind of red, like the Cardinals uniform. He must be Mark McGwire.
But the guy was like,
getting himself White Castle on King's Highway.
He was so mad at me because I wouldn't sign an autograph. He was like, Mark, don't be like that, Mark. I'm the biggest fan. Mark, come on, man. Just come on.
And come on, man. Get out of your car, brush off your tuxedo pants, and sign this autograph for me.
It's like, oh God.
What did you say to him? I'm not Mark McGwire.
I'm not Mark McGwire. I promise you I'm not him. I'm 5'10". He's 6'8". And the guy was just so, yeah, he probably hates Mark McGwire to this day. He's still telling that story.
That's awesome.
And his friends are like, Mark McGwire was in a Camry in a White Castle drive-thru. Okay.
And he's a jerk.
He's such a jerk.
Speaking of times changing, man, do you remember when he was breaking that record? There was a big joke going around, like on The Daily Show. I remember Jon Stewart doing jokes about Mark McGwire having a giant son.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I don't think you get away with that today.
He was the bad boy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
He was a big boy.
No, he was tall. Unless you're the president.
Yeah, right. Then everyone would be like, this is good. I like that he does this. Man, did you guys see this story? A 17-year-old girl from India had this huge lump in her abdomen, lots of abdominal pain, went through a bunch of tests. They found out it was her malformed twin living in her stomach for 17 years.
Wait, living?
Well, existing.
Jeez.
She's like, help! Existing in her stomach.
Is that your stomach growling?
Happy birthday! What was that? I need to eat something.
Would you like lift your shirt and stand by the window? I'd like to get some sunlight, twin. I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't either.
I'm nervous because I said the twin was living in her tummy. Anyway, they found hair, they found bones, they found vertebrae. That's the creepiest part.
Die.
Wonder what her personality was like.
It's called fetus in fetu. That's what that
fetus in fetu?
Yeah, that's what it's called whenever a twin is, you've absorbed your twin essentially. Yeah. This is the first ever case of this in an adult woman ever recorded.
Why? I wonder.
It's most common among very young males, and they can detect it quickly, like in childhood.
Wow.
So there's been like 6 or 7 cases of that, like to this degree, but this is the first ever, she's 17, but she's biologically considered a grown woman. This is the first case ever.
Do you think they could have saved it and like had to go to prom and make up for lost time?
With Mark McGwire.
Right, right. You know, like,
weird little prom
dress.
We're
sorry that this happened to you. We didn't notice you until now.
I want you to meet someone. Now, she's only got one eye and 3 vertebrae, but she's got a killer personality.
I'm just happy to be free.
Man, she's just so grateful for everything. Yeah. That's what's so nice about her.
She's just happy not to be living in her sister's tummy anymore.
Reminds me of The Dark Half. You ever see that?
Mm-mm.
Stephen King?
Mm-mm.
It's
no.
Pretty old with, oh gosh, who is it? I forget the actor that played it, but that was the whole thing. The Dark Half was he had all these nightmares and stuff, and they did brain surgery, and spoiler alert, and when they open his skull, there's an eyeball looking around, absorbed twin in his brain.
So he's living, just like Rachel said.
I mean, he
just
was looking
like,
around.
Just like this gal's twin. Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.